Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family. My name is Tim and I serve as the senior pastor here at Gateway. And I'm so glad that you've joined us for church online today, Boxing Day. I hope you enjoyed Christmas. I wonder what you're doing today, whether you're sitting down, whether you're young playing with presents that you received yesterday, or you're digesting a whole bunch of beautiful food that you had yesterday, or you're getting ready to watch, you know, the Boxing Day Ashes test, or you're cleaning up, or you're kind of in this state of what happened. It was so much. It was so big. I wonder, whatever happened yesterday, did it meet your expectations? Was it all that you had wanted it to be? We were blessed in the sense that we were able to travel many people and visit family across borders or have family in our homes, people we haven't seen for a long period of time. And so expectations are high for Christmas. It always carries with it high expectations. And maybe for kids, it's often easy to meet those expectations. A simple gift, or you know, you make the place look special. You do Christmas decorations. We have trees and decorations like the one behind me and we've had at church. And I think it gets a bit more complex as we get older because our expectations are often refined, but they get higher and they get deeper and they're often unmet. I wonder how you're feeling now on the other side of Christmas. Can you believe it? Were you disappointed? I hope not. But sometimes it's a possibility when we hype things up so highly. And so the question and the reflection each and every Christmas, what does it take to bring contentment, peace, meaning to us and to this time of year? What are we invited to reflect on? I want to today tell you about someone who wasn't disappointed and someone who never disappoints. So whatever it is you're doing, whether you're just like, wow, I'm reeling from such a big day yesterday, here's an invitation. Let's slow down. Let's reflect. Let's really value what this season and Christmas is all about. Can we go to Luke 2? We're going to read verses 25 to 32. This is from the NIV. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die because he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." It's a beautiful and profound and historical passage of Scripture. And so I want to go right here from the Bible, verse by verse, and just unpack what is actually going on here. Well, of course, the parents alluded to are Mary and Joseph, and the baby is Jesus, the Messiah. So who is Simeon? Verse 25, the very start, we read, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout." Simeon was a prominent man in Jerusalem, son of Hillel. Historian scholars think that he was a doctor, and he was actually bestowed the title of Rabban. Only seven people were given that title. So he's a prestigious man, and it records here in Luke that he was righteous and devout. What does that mean? So he was just towards people and he was devout towards God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's a consolation? Well, a consolation is often like second prize. You didn't do that well and you kind of lost. Not in this case. Consolation in this sense is the greatest gift, the promise of God, the very power of God outworked in Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the Shepherd coming into the world. And Simeon is waiting for the Savior of God's chosen nation of Israel, but not only them, as we hear a little bit later, but for the whole world. And it says the Holy Spirit was on him. Now remember, this is not yet Pentecost. This is not yet Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers. This man, Simeon, was special. He was revered in Jewish society there. He had a prophetic edge to him, a gifting. He knew things that the Holy Spirit told him. As we read in verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He was waiting. And it's incredible. The Holy Spirit empowered him with a gift of patience and this hope of what would come. And then just the profound what when he saw Jesus. We'll see in a moment. Moved by the Spirit. So this man was devout to God, which means he was listening to God. So when the Spirit said, Simeon, go to the temple, Simeon said, yep, I'm available and let's go. He went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. So Jesus was born a Jew. On the eighth day, just a little bit earlier in Luke 2, we read that he was circumcised. And at this point, a child would be consecrated to the Lord with offerings brought to the temple. And so this is the process that is being undergone. And how profound is verse 28? Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, I love these next passages, but can you imagine? Simeon had been waiting, hopeful, the Holy Spirit comforting him in his hope. And now his joy was so complete. He was so fulfilled. His purpose, the meaning of everything, was being fulfilled right before his eyes. And he says this as he holds Jesus in his arms, close to his heart, of which he had made so much room for God and the coming Messiah. Verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I love this. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, the promises of God never, ever fail. He is true to his promises. He is true to what is written in his word, the Bible. He is faithful. He is true. He is perfect. He is righteous and holy and just. Simeon says, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon was holding in his arms peace incarnate, the Prince of Peace. Peace, not as ethereal, something that we attain through gifts or even the meeting of our expectations of what maybe a Christmas day would look like, but in Jesus and only in him. And it is so profound that what happens? He actually says, I'm ready to die. Lord, take me to heaven. You've fulfilled what you promised. And now, Simeon looks at his life with this kind of, it's a weird thing to say, but like a holy contempt of like, what is life if I've seen life? I have seen the light of life. I have seen the Prince of Peace. I have seen the very promise to the nation of Israel, but not just to Israel, but to the whole world. As we read right here, and he says, I'm ready to go. Now, Simeon doesn't die very quickly after that, and it's a bit uncertain as to when he actually dies. But in the same way as the Apostle Paul kind of talks about his death coming, it didn't come straight away. So it's not just like, yep, good, gone. But this is how he feels since seeing Jesus. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He has seen. And what's profound about this is it goes on and talks about revelation being something that is revealed. And if the priests in the temple around, all of whom who knew many of the things that Simeon knows, you know, Micah prophesies about Jesus coming. Isaiah prophesies about Jesus coming. Jesus fulfilled so many prophecies, and that's a discussion for another day. But if they had just seen, God was bringing Simeon in to testify to who Jesus was, to encourage Mary and Joseph, and for anybody else who had their eyes open or their ears open or their heart had room, they would see that this was the Messiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon saying, I see, Lord, and it is good, it is perfect, it is profound, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Well, this is alluding to the fact that Jesus didn't come only for the Jews, but for the world. He came to save a world that needs a savior, you and I. You know, whether we know Jesus right now and we realize that our heart has become so cluttered that we need to make space for him, or we don't yet know Jesus. And God is saying, believe that Jesus is God. Know that you're a sinner. You need a savior. And invite him into your life. Make room in your heart and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you that you have forgiven me by dying on the cross and coming back to life. And that because I'm sinful, I need you to allow me to come back to God. And this is what God is doing. And this is why it's so profound. And we cannot miss the true meaning of Christmas. All nations, and verse 32, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Who are the Gentiles? Well, any non-Jew was a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. You maybe are a Gentile if you're not a Jew. And this is the promise. This is the light of revelation that God is revealing himself. He is outworking all of this stuff said about Jesus, said about how God was going to bring the world back to himself through Jesus Christ, and that the Savior would come from his chosen nation, from the line of David, from Israel. It's an amazing, amazing passage of scripture full of promise and riches that we could spend the entire next year unpacking together. That last part, light for revelation to the Gentiles, is a reference to Isaiah 49:6. Says this, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Jesus came to be the light of the world, not just a candle in the Jewish candlestick, Matthew Henry puts it, but the Son of Righteousness. A son, both as the Son of God, God himself, but also the Son, S-U-N, a light of righteousness, a beacon of hope to the world who needed it then, who need it now. What does it take to bring contentment, peace, meaning to us? It takes God and nothing else. Simeon saw and held Jesus. He made room for and expected God. And he was not disappointed. In fact, he was so profoundly impacted that he said, my life now is but a pale shadow. The life that I had in myself is a pale shadow in comparison to this. Lord, I give it to you. I'm ready to go because I've seen the light of life. And in the same way that he made room and was expectant, we're invited to make room and be expectant. And God will never, ever disappoint us. He is perfect. He is righteous. He is true. He is love. He is just. He cannot disappoint. He is perfect. And we're invited to reflect on that. No matter what this year has looked like for you, no matter what Christmas Day looked like for you, no matter what today looks like for you, that's the invitation. God is greater. He's more than we could possibly imagine. And so let's not lose our awe, but actually right now, because I think we all need it, let's have our awe be reinfused into us. God is faithful to his word, and no one who's ever hoped in him has been ashamed. This hope we have, just like Simeon's hope, never fails. God has never failed anyone. You know, right now, we've really got to realize, I think, so many people, myself included at times, we're so tired, we're overwhelmed. And when we see things through that lens, we can grow really cynical. We can lose our joy, we can lose our awe, and this is what we're invited into. So what's our response as followers of Jesus, or if you today are hearing about Jesus for the first time, the Savior of the world, who came into the world as God, as a baby, the most humble of places, but a person who even as a child brought honor to every place he went to, every person he interacted with, who brings forgiveness and salvation. What can we control? Very little. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So, Lord, we bring our fear before you. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit so we don't have to fear anymore. But instead, we can reflect on this true meaning of Christmas and we can trust. But you've given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, or in other translations, self-discipline, or self-control. And so what can we control? We can control, with the Holy Spirit's help, ourselves. Very little else. We can't control the world or the weather or other people. We certainly can't control or manipulate God. We can control, with his help, ourselves. And so the invitation is, as followers of Jesus, to make space, to go to God, to be refreshed, to receive peace, but more than that, to realize it's because God is worthy of us doing that. He desires for us to do that. He is sovereign and holy, and so he will bring comfort, he will bring peace, but he is just worthy of us having self-discipline around us, stopping and reflecting and saying, thank you, Lord, you are worthy. We're going to do that in just a moment. And the outcome of us doing that is that there's a missional outcome. There's something that God has for us to do. And I think what it is that we hear when God says, go do this, just as Simeon did when the Holy Spirit said, go to the temple, you're going to see Jesus. We're available. We're obedient. We don't walk past a person who needs our help. We listen for when God says, go here and do this. What does it take to bring contentment, peace, meaning, purpose to us? It takes God. And God came into the world as Jesus at Christmas time. And that echoes just as profoundly today, 2,000 years on, for you and I in our lives following Jesus. And for you, if you're searching for what is all of this about, what does all of this mean? Well, it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and answered in the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We slow down, we reflect on the profound truth that you have revealed yourself to the world in the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to make room in our hearts for this incredible truth to produce awe and wonder and obedience and availability. Help us to control that which we can, which is really only ourselves. Help us to prioritize you, Lord. And I speak prophetically, let every heart prepare him room. Let the person who doesn't know Jesus or the person whose life has become cluttered and bogged down in the things of the world make room to receive their Lord, their Savior, the King of the world. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as we look ahead to the year to come, regardless of anything that's uncertain, anything that looks like it's going to be hard, we can have a hope that does not fail in you, because, Lord, you have never failed anyone. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you and your family. Can't wait to see you at the first service of the year next Sunday. God bless.